Welcome to Behold and Become, a podcast about faith with me, Robert Black. Welcome to episode 138 of Behold and Become as we continue this series on heresies. Today we're going to consider one heresy and then its tragic consequence, which is a related heresy. The heresy in question is Marcionism, named after Marcion. He lived in the second century, and he put forth a belief that Jesus is the Son of God, yes, but not the God of Israel. He saw the God of Israel, as portrayed in the Old Testament, to be a vengeful and nasty God who is not compatible with the God who is the Father of Jesus. Now, Marcion was called a heretic by church leaders such as Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Tertullian, and the result was that Marcion was excommunicated as a heretic in the 140s. Now, interestingly, he also put forth his own canon for the New Testament, that is, his take on what books should be deemed as scriptural. It included what is called the Gospel of Marcion, which is a heavily edited version of the Gospel according to Luke, and then 10 letters attributed to St. Paul. Now again, most considered him a heretic, and they were not interested in adopting the canon that Marcion came up with. So, interestingly, it forced them to clarify their own sense of the canon, what should be counted as scripture. And it was Marcion's claim that there are two gods, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, that earned him that title as a heretic. He argued that there was a God in the Old Testament, but it was a lower level sort of deity, whom Marcion called a demiurge. And this being created the world, but ultimately is not the ruler of creation. That ruler of creation is the Father of Jesus. Now, this, of course, it puts Judaism at odds with Christianity. It explains why Marcion had to so heavily edit Luke, because you've got to erase a lot of Israel in the story of Jesus. So last week, we considered the Gnostics, and Marcion does overlap with them, because he saw the physical realm as the creation of that lower-level god, that demiurge, meaning that the physical was looked down upon by Marcion because it was created by a lesser deity. Now, of course, Marcion also claimed that he had special knowledge about the true nature of God, and that stood in conflict with Orthodox teaching as well. Now, I hope you can hear easily why Marcion was deemed as a heretic, and I don't know what led Marcion to these particular beliefs, and I don't want to portray him as being responsible for all of the evils that can be traced back to his flawed theology. But the result of Marcionism is perhaps the most pernicious of all the results of heresy, anti-Semitism. Now, it doesn't take much to connect the belief in a lesser and malevolent God of the Old Testament to get us to anti-Semitism, which is where the faith of Israel is condemned. Because simply put, Jesus without Judaism is like an omelet without eggs. It's like thunder without lightning. It just doesn't make sense, and it can't even happen. Because even the name Jesus is a Hebrew name that means the Lord, and this is the Lord of Israel, saves. Jesus is unintelligible without the story of Abraham, Moses, Ruth, and David. Understanding the death and resurrection of Jesus without understanding the priesthood or the temple of Jerusalem is impossible. The justice of God, which Jesus speaks of, would be meaningless without the prophecies of Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Amos that came before. Without Judaism, there is no Christianity. Without Israel, there is no church. And by saying this, I do not mean that the church has replaced Israel, or the New Testament trumps over the old. That's a different heresy that flows out of Marcionism called supersessionism. That heresy erroneously claims that Christianity supersedes or replaces Judaism. Instead, I think we should see Christianity as growing out of Judaism. Both Isaiah, Jesus, and Paul speak of Israel as a vine. Well, Christianity is the grape that grows from the vine of Israel, but it is the connection to the vine that makes that grape and more grapes possible. Jesus is spoken of as the first fruits, but there is a bigger harvest coming, and that harvest comes through the same vine of God's promise made to Israel. God's salvation of the world comes through Israel. But without Israel, we would have no story of salvation, just as without the vine, we would have no grapes. Christianity grows out of Judaism, but it does not replace it in the same way that a grape does not replace the vine. The grape and the vine, we might even say they're on the same team, right? They are not in competition with them, with one another. Now, anti-Semitism is worse than supersessionism because it denies that there's any goodness in Judaism. And we have seen the evils of this heresy throughout history, during the Inquisition, during the Holocaust, and even today in attacks at synagogues around our country. Anti-Semitism is the discrimination, violence, and hatred of Judaism and the Jewish people. And by definition, this is a rejection of Jesus himself, because Jesus clearly is Jewish. And so this makes anti-Semitism not only morally repugnant just in general, but it is also heretical from a theologically creedal perspective. And Christians have to be very, very clear about this. But sadly, anti-Semitism runs rampant in the church. On this topic, I really recommend getting what's called the Jewish Annotated New Testament. It's a New Testament, but all the notes come from Jewish scholars. I also really recommend reading the scholar Amy Jill Levine. In particular, two books of hers, Misunderstood Jew and Short Stories by Jesus. These are both great books. Amy Jill Levine is a New Testament scholar. She was actually one of my doctoral professors and has really helped me to see and hopefully avoid anti-Semitism in my preaching and teaching. Because again, it's just out there and we don't realize that we've consumed it, but we do. As an example, think about how many times you've heard about the Sadducees and Pharisees being portrayed in stereotypical and negative ways. Even that term, pharisaical, that's anti-Semitic, right? Because the way we use it as a type and turn it into a negative term, Pharisee just meant a Jewish scholar, and we've turned that into a negative thing. Again, Levine's writing helps us here because she points out so many ways in which we just interpret the Bible in an anti-Semitic way by default. One of the things that she says is that if you have to make Jews look bad for Jesus to look good, then you're reading the text wrong, because Jesus always comes out looking good because he was such a good Jew. And all of this flows out of that Marcionist heresy and tendency to see a gap between the Old and the New Testament. You know, in our marriage liturgy, we speak about two people being joined together, and we say, let no one put asunder. Well, when it comes to the Jewish roots of our faith, if we cut those roots off and we put asunder Judaism from Jesus, then indeed we have heresy. And that is exactly what Marcionism is. Next week, we'll continue this series by considering a few heresies related to how we understand who Jesus is. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you forever. Amen.